Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here, coming to you from New York City. This is an afterthought. I was revising my blog, and you know, maybe you know this, that my podcasts come out of my blog, which you can find on realrabbinyc.com. And there are different, the podcast actually adds things on, usually, but in this case, I ended up doing the podcast and then adding things into the blog, which actually also happens. But anyway, in this case, what I wanted to add is, in terms of our underestimation of the willingness of others to help, and also our ability to make change happen despite seemingly insurmountable powers, I wanted to add what's happening in Israel right now and how the protests against the prime minister's efforts to overhaul the judicial system for his own advantage and control. These protests are loud and clear and truly an example to us. We don't just need to look back at history, the history of the United States, and the fact that slavery was overcome and where we are today. We still have so far to go, but how people never gave up. And these protesters in Israel are not giving up. It's not just day after day, but it's week after week, and they haven't stopped. And it's just amazing. So in terms of putting our cynicism aside, we can learn something from watching that. And also, getting back to the idea that in the Parsha, in Ki Tisah, as angry as God is, and the fact that God did not give up on the people, that this telling Moses to make a new set of tablets, you know, that's like thinking about things that are written in stone, that we thought were written in stone, and the chipping away of services and laws. I mean, it's very easy to think of the example of Roe versus Wade. I mean, this was something that we thought was written in stone, right? And I think I've said that in another podcast and written that in another blog or something like that. But these were things, protections. There have been so many laws and protections that Americans have had over the decades that have been chipped away at slowly. And we have to be aware, and I think that my tenants association is so right. We have to be really aware of watching for things, you know, being chipped away at slowly. So that's what I wanted to add. I guess maybe the way Netanyahu is going about it is so shocking to people. It's such, you know, maybe it's not a good political move, but maybe that's good. I mean, it's so easy to see. So that's all I wanted to say. Was my phone stinky? Yeah, I mean, compost has to rot in order to offer nourishment for plants to grow. The stink is part of the process. That's where we are now. So again, let's put our cynicism aside, see what we can do, each of us in our little or big way. I just wanted to repeat that message and say amen and thank you and Shabbat Shalom. And until next time. Hi, I'm Juliet the Rabbi, coming to you from New York City. Welcome and Shabbat Shalom. This week, I'm going to be talking about mirrors, vanity, social media, and how that relates to Vayakhel Pekudei, which is the end of the book of Exodus. I've been doing an awful lot of mirror gazing over the past week. I just got myself a whole new wardrobe, professional-looking clothes. It feels so good, like I'm a whole new person. And our clothing, the way we dress, is really important. It actually makes us feel different. And whoa, I got great sales too.
Speaking of which, well, I'll talk about that later, advertising. Anyway, now I feel really ready to present myself to the world as a rabbi. People have told me to post pictures on social media, and I did it, but then I took them down. It felt uncomfortable, like I was crossing a boundary as a rabbi. It's so hard to know with social media. There's this boundary crossing and very blurred lines between the professional and the personal life. And it feels like it's gotten more and more accentuated. My daughters tell me, or at least one of them does, like, you gotta show, you know, your life. People wanna see what you're doing in your life. And it's like, well, how much? You know, okay, my kitchen, you know, what I do in my kitchen, what relates to my rabbinate? One of the things that really relates to it is the food that I make. It's really important to me to eat healthy, and I've always loved baking bread and making things on my own and being self-sufficient. It's kind of like a homesteading. I guess I'm getting to do a little homesteading in the city, you know? I always dreamed of being a farmer, so, and maybe having a garden as a rabbi, being the rabbi of the garden that was a community garden, an urban farm. So yeah, anyway, I'm getting off track here. But you know, what is it? The point is, what is it that I want to present to the outside world through social media? And it seems like social media has encouraged us to become even more vain than we used to be. It's really in stark contrast to the women's liberation movement of the 1960s, which I grew up with. I mean, my mother was she was really into women's liberation, and she encouraged me not to shave my legs because it didn't show much, and once you start shaving, you'll never stop, and it just gets thicker. And, you know, things like that. It's like, why do we as women have to shave when men don't, right? So this whole thing of vanity, and what is beauty? What does it look like to be? But do we even have to be beautiful to present ourselves to the world? And yet there's this pressure. It feels like I need to. I have bought in entirely to that idea. It's hard. It's hard knowing when I've gone too far, when I've stepped over a line. And weren't we supposed to be free? Weren't we supposed to have freed ourselves of the need to appear in a certain way that's condoned by society and the advertising world? That's where I was going with the advertising world, you know, the sales. I woke up on Sunday morning. I had already gotten these nice clothes for work last week, work type clothes. And then I was like, you know, I really still need jeans. I only have one pair of ripped jeans, and I need to be able to look casual nice too. And sure enough, I opened my phone in the morning on Sunday, and advertising from Old Navy, where I had been the week before, sales, great sales on jeans. And yes, I ran down there and got them. It was a one-day sale. You know? It was a one-day sale. They got me. But I got really good buys. I mean, I paid $20 per pair of jeans. I was really happy with what I got. And I got a couple more jackets, and it's like for the summertime, and so now I have for all seasons. So I have a whole new wardrobe. And so yes, these things are necessary. I need to feel professional in the world. But at the same time, wow, I mean, I really normally resist allowing the advertising to get me. And this time it was to my advantage, and I took advantage of it, and I'm done. I don't go shop. I haven't been shopping in probably 6 years, you know, so I deserve it. Anyway, okay, so the physical thing, this is what I'm talking about. Here I am, like, okay, I'm all ready. I look good. I have new clothes, ready to walk out into the world as a rabbi. And then boom, I have this big sty in my eye. it's healing really slowly, and it's left a really big bump on my eyelid. And in my experience, it will probably take another couple of weeks before it goes away entirely. The thought has occurred to me, or occurred, to try and cover it up with makeup, but that wouldn't be good for it. That wouldn't be taking care of my body, as opposed to worrying about what I look like out in the world. Yeah, I let my hair kind of fall over it. That's how I deal with it. Because am I to wait for it to clear up entirely before I can walk out into the world and present myself as a rabbi? Why do I have this need to look quote unquote perfect? And what does that word perfect mean anyway? What do people with physical disabilities do? There's no waiting for them until it goes away, quote unquote, right? They live with it. So what kind of ridiculous standards our society holds us to? People with disabilities have to find the strength within. We all have to find the strength within, but the strength and the beauty, and it's in a much more exaggerated way for people with disabilities and quote unquote birth defects. What about sagging skin? As I age, should that stop me? Why can't that be seen as beautiful as well? Do we judge elephants for their sagging skin? No, we think it's just a part of them. And baby elephants have sagging skin too, so that there's no like, oh, well, when they grow up, it becomes saggy. No, they're always saggy. And we think they're adorable. Why can't we think that about ourselves and our fellow human beings? In Vayakel Pekudei, which is this week's Torah reading, the instructions for the building of the tabernacle are carried out, and the Israelites are told to bring their skills and their material gifts. The Torah describes the lavers for washing in preparation for service by the priests. The lavers are at the entrance to the sanctuary, a kind of boundary, right? And they're made of copper. Exodus 38:8 says they're made of the mirrors used by the women who ministered or performed tasks of the tabernacle. Interestingly, I've heard this before. I knew that this was there before. Actually, I used to think it was a midrash. But this time I was really reading it carefully and I was like, oh, wow, the mirrors. I thought it was a midrash. I thought it was a rabbinic tale told by the rabbis. But no, it's in the Torah, in Exodus 38:8. And I read yesterday that the mirrors were made, mirrors in ancient times were made of a very finely polished copper. So that makes sense, right? The words are bimarot hatzovot. The mirrors of the ministering women. It's very curious language. It appears only once in the entire Hebrew Bible. The women are not mentioned previously, even though the lavers are. The mirrors aren't mentioned previously. And we know nothing of these women and or their mirrors, which I'm sure has led the rabbis to write plenty of midrashim about this. But I didn't read any this time, which is interesting. Anyway. So it's here at the entrance, a boundary of sorts, that the priests wash and prepare themselves. They wash their hands and their feet for holy service and encounter. But it is at the heart of the sanctuary where the holy encounter actually happens. Rabbi Shefa Gold, in her Torah journeys, connects the women and their mirrors to the impossibly high standards our culture sets for our physical appearance. Because it's true that women in particular are taught the need to gaze in the mirror often and make sure we somehow look perfect, in quotes. How many untold numbers of eating disorders has this caused? How many? I could have been one of those people because I had a mother who was influenced by this culture, in spite of her being a feminist. The thing about being thin never went away. She did not free herself of that. And I don't think that she really much thought about it. She judged people who were overweight or obese very much. And that was to my detriment, my terrible detriment, because she saw me as fat, even though I was a very thin child once I got past babyhood. But it stuck with me. I always thought I was fat. She was constantly telling me to pull my stomach in and to lose weight. And it's a wonder that I did not become anorexic or bulimic. But I have struggled with food and my body image my whole life. I'm getting past it now, which is amazing. But it has not been easy. So what if we, says Sheffa Gold, especially as women, could trust that we are judged for what is in our hearts, inside of us, the beauty inside of us, rather than what adorns our faces and our bodies. What if we could wash ourselves of others' projections and expectations and clear away judgment, she says, and the need for approval, wiping away shame, cleaning every pore of its need for artifice, till the skin can let our radiance shine through. If we can cross this boundary that blocks us from revealing our inner holy selves, then we will be ready to encounter the holy. Then we can, as she says, offer up the judgments, the criticism, and the vanity that obscure our depths. With this, we come to another crossing as we come to the end of the book of Exodus. We're crossing over to the next book of the Torah. As it always says at the end of each book of the Torah, may we be strong. Chazak, chazak, venit chazek. Strong, strong, let us be strong. We will be strong. This is what a person with a physical disability or a birth quote-unquote defect must do. Find the inner strength and beauty and let it shine. May we all draw strength from that example. And let us say amen and Shabbat Shalom, good Shabbos. And thank you for being with me today, this week. Visit my website, realrabbinyc.com, and make a donation. See what else I do in the world as a rabbi. See you next time. Bye.